This morning, I'm going to read the scripture, and after I read the scripture, I'm going to lead us in a prayer, and we're going to remain standing for our prayer today. And what I would like to do, if I may, is, and I hope this isn't uncomfortable for you, I would like that those that have a special request for prayer, normally you would give it out loud, that you would just slip up a hand, and those, the person standing next to you or behind you, would simply place a hand on your shoulder. Now, some may not feel comfortable with that. That's fine. But if you are comfortable, I would ask that you do that during our prayer time, and we are going to pray for the needs of the church that way. If you have your Bibles and would like to follow along, I'm going to be reading out of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherds appear, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. As we go to prayer, who has a need this morning? Lift your hand up if you have a special need, and those around you will pray for you. Is there anyone? Lift your hand. There's someone here. Someone would pray. In back, we have someone. Any others? Over here, there's a person with their hand up. Raise your hand as we go to prayer, and those around you will pray. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you today for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that in the past we've called upon you. And Lord, we have heard from you. We have seen your hand do wondrous miracles on our behalf. And Lord, today we pray, Father, for each one that raised their hand and those perhaps that have a need today that did not raise their hand. Lord, represented in this congregation, I'm sure there are physical needs. Touch them and bring healing. Represented in this congregation, I'm sure there are family needs. Lord, we pray that you'll draw families together, heal marriages, and touch children, Lord, today. We pray, Father, for those who may have needs, Lord, where darkness seems to settle over them, depression. We pray, Father, that you would touch them and bring healing, Lord. Father, and those who are thinking of a loved one today, whether they're traveling, whether they're, Lord, just in need of the presence of God in some way in their life, we pray, God, that you would answer the prayer that is being offered right now. Lord, minister by your Holy Spirit. And now, Father, we pray for the anointing on the Holy Word of God. We pray for the anointing upon the message that you've given me. Let it be Christ that shines forth and not me. We pray that Jesus would be seen in whatever we have to say and do next. We ask it, Father, in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. My message originally was entitled Be Sober, but I didn't want you to think I was talking about alcohol, so I changed the title to Be of a Sound Mind. And you will notice something in my comments that I'm going to allude to right now. And I just want to take a moment to do this. And I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody. So for whoever I miss, I apologize and I thank you in advance. I just want to say that during times of transition, there are some of the most difficult times for a church. And it's during the times of transition that I have seen leadership and people that have been raised up to do the work of the ministry. And so for all of you that have had a part of doing the work of the ministry during your time of transition, whether it be the deacons or elders, whether it be Heidi in the office, or the pulpit committee, or Joel as our president of the congregation, or whoever, I just want to say thank you today. Thank you for your service and your work of love for the church here at Calvary. And I'm going to close with a poem. Have I done my best for Jesus? And I just happen to know that those of you that are serving are truly doing your best for Jesus. So my message is, be of a sound mind. If you were to ask me, 10 years ago, and probably even today, Tim, what is your favorite verse in the Bible? I would have been Johnny on the spot with 1 Peter 5:7. And the King James, which is what I memorized it in, we just read it in the New International Version. In the King James, it says, casting all your cares upon him, because he careth for you. What a wonderful passage. I want to show you three ways this morning that we can be of a sound mind. And when we have the sound mind that the Holy Spirit gives, we can find that God takes the cares that we carry on a daily basis, and he begins to dissolve them right before our eyes. It is interesting. I was talking to my fiance on the phone, and I had preached here on August 13th, and I want you to take out a piece of paper and write down what I preached on. I'm kidding. I don't expect you to know that. And she said to me, she said, I was worried about something, and I was voicing my concerns, and she said to me, you need to go back and listen to the sermon on August 13th. And so that's my assignment, and probably tomorrow I'm going to go to Calvary's website and see what I preached on August 13th. Casting all your cares. Our cares can be dissolved in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you three instructions this morning to see how we can cast our cares upon the Lord. And when we follow these instructions, we find that we develop this thing that I've called a sound mind. In 1 Peter, I've already read it, chapter 5, it says, to the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, which will also share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those who are entrusted to you, but being an example to the flock. And when Christ, the chief shepherd, shall appear, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. You all are in the process of calling a pastor. I can't think of a better job description. It says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care. Number one. Number two, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Number three, not pursuing dishonest gain. Number four, job description, eager to serve. Number five, not lording it over those entrusted to you. And point number six for your job description would be examples to the flock of God. Our scripture says in 1 Peter 5:1, to the elders among you. We often think of elders as those in leadership. You have a board of elders. Or we think of elders as pastors. In fact, if you were to look this passage up in the King James Version of the Bible, or the New International Version of the Bible, or the Living Bible, you would find the word elder is used. However, in the Amplified Bible, we read this, I warn and counsel the elders among you, parentheses, the pastors and spiritual guides of the church. I think that's a good definition. the pastors and spiritual guides of the church, as a fellow elder and an eyewitness called to testify of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a sharer in the glory. The Encarta Encyclopedia says that an elder is a senior member of authority. So what is this person that takes the title of an elder? And boy, you talk about kind of a weird feeling. I was 21 years old when I went into the pastorate, and all of a sudden I became an elder. That didn't make a lot of sense to me because I was leading. But what is this person that's called an elder or an overseer do? First of all, when we are following right teaching, when we are following right teaching, and so that elder is going to be one, whether it's a leader in the church or whether it's a pastor, it's going to be one that brings to you right teaching. We are able to cast our care or our anxiety onto the Lord. But it starts with right leadership and right teaching. And I have no doubt that you have been praying about the leadership that will come to your church, the pastor that will come to your church. 1 Peter 5:2 says this. It says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre," that means money, "but of a ready mind." Most pastors are paid, and that's good because we need to eat. But that's not why we do it. I can tell you with a proof positive, certain mind today that unless they're crazy, there's not a pastor alive that's gone into the ministry for the money. When I was courting the young lady that I'm going to be marrying, I told her, I said, "You know I'm a pastor, don't you?" And she said, "Yes, I know you're a pastor." I said, "You know that means I don't have any money, don't you?" And she said, "Well, I kind of assumed that. Not for filthy lucre, but willingly. Take oversight of the flock that God has given you." What does it look like? What does it look like to have positive and solid teaching? Well, I know that you all need to move past Brian, but if I was to talk about someone that gives solid teaching, he was a man who gave solid teaching. I hope people say that about me, that Tim Newman is a man that gives solid teaching. I hope they say that about your next pastor, that he's a man that gives solid teaching. 2 Timothy says this, "In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you charge." And every preacher that I know of in every denomination receives this charge when they're ordained in the ministry. "I give you charge, preach the word." I heard a sermon recently, and certainly don't mean to be judgmental, but the pastor that was preaching, he didn't get around to reading the word until 30 minutes into his sermon. I wondered, where is preaching the word in that? Preach the word. We're not here to give you our opinions. That's not the job of the preacher. You don't care how much I know. I know that. I know that you don't care how much the next pastor knows. You want to hear the word of God. You want to hear it expounded. At least I hope you do. And so those who are in leadership, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. And then this is the hard part of being in leadership. I'm going to read it to you. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them the great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their eyes away from the truth and turn aside to myths. When I was a kid, I used to read this verse and not understand. I couldn't figure out why these guys' ears itched. But you see, that's how we are sometimes when we get something in our mind. We want to hear what we believe and what we think is right, and so we call someone to preach what we want to hear. Well, listen, it's not what I want. It's not what you want. It's what God wants. And if I was going to say amen, it would be right there. It's what God wants. What does God's word say to us? And so the first area of a sound mind, we receive it when we have leadership that are willing to be used of God to preach the word. Secondly, we can see, when we have a sound mind, we can see Christ dissolving our care by walking in humility towards one another. In the same way, listen to this now, in the same way, those of you who are younger, I thought about asking all the younger to raise their hand, but I was pretty sure everybody here would raise their hand. Those of you that are younger, submit yourself to the elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. There are four groups of people here. First of all, there's those who are younger. You know who you are. Secondly, it says to one another, to walk in humility towards one another. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Here's the one another, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks unto God for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves, here we go, to one another in the fear of the Lord. And then I used to say, when I get to this next verse, I used to say I'm not going to talk about it and give the pastor the responsibility, but y'all don't have a pastor, so I guess I got to deal with it. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands. That really doesn't need a lot of explanation, does it? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. But that's all predicated upon the next verse. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? He died for the church, and so be willing to die for your wife. And he gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, here we're on the one another, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Men ought to so love their own wives as their bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, his flesh, and his bones. Four groups of people we're talking about in walking in humility towards one another. First, those who are younger. Secondly, one another. Thirdly, it says God opposes the proud. God. Romans 6:13 says, do not offer yourselves to any sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. Have you done that? Have you offered yourself to God? As those who have been bought from death to life, offer every part of yourselves to him as an instrument of righteousness. And the last person that this passage of Scripture talks about, in the same way you were younger, submit yourself unto the elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. The last group of people is the proud. All of these are integrally related one to another in humility and submission. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourself. Submission to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility. That's a submissive act towards one another. Because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, or submit yourselves under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Submit, humble, humility. I remember a song we used to sing when I was a kid. I don't know if you sang it when you were younger, but my mom will remember it, I know, and my stepdad. Little chorus, it said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. It's all about him. This isn't about the preacher that you're calling. It's not about the preacher you had. It's not about the preacher that's in the pulpit today or will be in the pulpit next week. It's all about him. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Leadership willing to be used of God, walking in humility towards one another. Finally, if we're going to see our cares dissolved, we need to resist the devil. Verse 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Be alert and of sober mind. Resist him because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of suffering. I was looking at the missionaries that you support. Some of those, I'm sure, are ministering to people that are suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast, or give you a sound mind. To him be power forever and ever. There are three elements to resisting the devil and dissolving our care. I call him a scripture sandwich. I kind of like that. I've been using it for several dozen years. It's the three things. It's a top and a bottom and a middle, all kind of squished together in a nice sandwich. First of all, it's the pre. The pre is 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him, for he cares for you. That's our top bun of our scripture sandwich. Secondly, the meat of this thing is the event itself. Verse 8, be alert and of sober mind or sound mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. I'll never forget one time I was preaching on Palm Sunday, and we had it all. We had the kids coming up the aisle waving the palm branches like you do. We had the crowds that we'd set aside to shout, crucify him. We had everything. And I had this one dear little old saint, Sister Pop. I imagine she's gone to be with the Lord now. After church, she told me, she said, Pastor, she said, I was expecting the donkey to come up the aisle next. Anyway, it says, resist the devil. He goes about like a roaring lion. No, I'm not going to bring a roaring lion into the sanctuary today. Aren't you glad for that? The event, that which comes first, casting our anxiety on him, and then we're alert and of a sober mind because our enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. As I was preparing the sermon, at this point in the sermon, a song came to my mind. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. The song says, days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can feel every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Be of a sound mind. Cast your cares on the Lord today. And then the bottom of this scripture sandwich is the result. The result. It's the third part of it. The pre is to cast all our cares on the Lord. The event itself is to be alert, be sober, because the devil is prowling like a roaring lion. And finally is the result. And here it is. There are three parts of verse 10 that I want to share with you. After a little while you have suffered, God will restore you. How many are glad that God will restore you? Amen. I know I am. I know I am. December, 15, 16 of 2013, I came into this church a broken man. My wife was laying in a casket, and Pastor Brian preached the funeral, and I sobbed and cried, and I was a broken man. But aren't you glad God restores you? Aren't you glad he's able to take the broken pieces and put them back together? Oh, not that I don't still love my wife. I'd love her dearly. If I could have her, I'd take her back in a second. But you want to know something? She won't come back. I can tell you that right now. She's in heaven. She loves where she's at. I have no doubt. After you've suffered a little while, God will restore you. He will restore you. And then it says, God will make you strong, firm. I love this. And steadfast. That's how I want to be. Strong, firm, and steadfast. It's talking about spiritually. If it's talking about physically, I've done something wrong because I'm not strong. But it's talking about spiritually. I want to be strong. I want to be firm. I want to be steadfast. And after all of this, verse 10, verse 11 says, to him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Well, what about you being strong, firm, and steadfast? When all of that begins to happen, there's something else that takes place. Jesus receives the power and the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. When our minds are stayed on Christ, God receives the glory. I looked up the words to another song. I'll share it with you as a poem. It says, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? I think of his great sacrifice at Calvary. I know my Lord expects the best from me. The hours that I've wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ are so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. I wonder if I've cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wandering soul to Jesus, the seed of precious life I might have sown. No longer will I stay within the valley. I'll climb to mountain heights above. The world is dying now for want of someone to tell them of the Savior's matchless love. And then the chorus is, I wonder if I've done my best for Jesus, who died upon a cruel tree. I think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, and I know my Lord expects the best of me. We cast all our anxiety, all our care upon him. We've taken the first step in developing a sound mind, one that seeks after God. This morning, let us pray and let us ask God to build in us a strong spirit and a sound mind that will seek after God. Father, we come before you. Your word is very clear. The enemy prowls about like a roaring lion. Lord, there are responsibilities that we have, things that we can do, Lord, not to be saved because that's all done. You've done it all. But, Lord, to become strengthened as Christians, I pray, Lord, that those that are assembled here would take upon themselves the challenge to develop a strong mind through you, one that can resist the enemy and see him flee from us. Lord, build in us a spirit that seeks after God, we pray, that we might walk closer each day with you. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.